to Tarqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it to Tarqua? He's flying. Yes, there's history. Tarqua makes it three in a row.
It's a very good morning to you, Wayne Hawks.
And a very good morning to you, G Hall.
Did you have a wonderful morning up at 3:30? Serious day there on a Tuesday morning at Team Hawks. I would imagine there would be some gallops there at Flemington this morning. Was there any horses that you just said, geez, hey, Dad, this horse won't be getting beat on Saturday?
Not quite like that, no.
Okay.
Had a few gallops this morning, so obviously Tuesday's a fairly busy and intense morning. And I got up at 3:20 on a Tuesday just to get ready for you and Wayne's World. That's how we roll on a Tuesday morning, Gareth.
Now, there was plenty of hot topics that we discussed as we were talking this morning about what we were going to talk about on Wayne's World. But this is a conversation I forgot to mention you because I wanted to surprise you a little bit.
You ring me an hour before the show and have a preview, then you just throw one at me.
Yes.
Yeah, good for you. Good from you. Yeah, go on.
If Alan Endres rang you up and said, Wayne, can you please train alligator blood, what would you say?
Probably not.
Why not?
I didn't say not, but I'd want to know what happened with the previous trainer, to be totally honest.
Well, we all know what happened there. They had a disagreement.
Yeah, but I want to know what it was.
I think not for me to say, but it's been written in the media of recent times that it was basically they had a disagreement. I think David wasn't happy with the way that they were. I think it was, how can you explain it? Like, I don't think they had a disagreement with David's partner, so that's why they moved on.
I have John and Michael to help me, so I probably don't need anyone else. So
no.
It's the old Bart Cummings line, isn't it? How much are you a day? Well, I'm $100 a day if I train it, and it's $150 a day if you want to help me.
So so how much do trainers put up with owners that can be, and I'm not saying Alan is, I've never trained a horse for Alan, but horses that train, there'll be some owners that give you trainers headaches from time to time.
There'll be owners listening right now going, I wonder what he's going to say. And there'll be trainers listening right now saying, give it to him. You know what? If you're going to give a bloke a horse to train, let him train it. If you're so good, go to 400 Epsom Road and get your own trainer's license, I say. And that's a bit bullish, but I don't think so, because if you get a plumber and you don't ask him to do the job, and I know plumbing's not your hobby and horse racing is your hobby, but it's hard enough when you've got everything working for you to actually get a job done without having any outside influence. And, you know, it's obviously a political thing that lots of people don't, look, I won't lie to you. Plenty of people, I'm sure, don't come to us because they know that we don't put up with it. It's as simple as that. So I don't think anyone can dispute our record and what we do, but there's plenty of people that would say they're not going to come to us because we don't need the help. It's as simple as that. So you do what you do, and people go to different people for different reasons. I mean, some people go to horse trainers because they just like them. They mightn't necessarily be the best horse trainer, but they get along great with them and everything like that. But it's a very, very fine juggling, balancing act for a horse trainer with owners that certainly want to jump in and certainly give you a hand. And, you know, as I said, I know it's half a political hot topic what I'm talking about right now, but it's a topic that, you know, trainers have to certainly grin and bear it. But from the alligator blood, I don't know the guys. I met one or two of them once at the Magic Mirrors this year. They walked up and said, g'day. They said, oh, it might have even been last year, actually. They said they're really good All Too Hard. And I said, oh, well, good. I'm cheering every All Too Hard home. But I don't know. There's obviously some dramas there, whether it went back to positive swabs or what. I don't know what the ins and outs were, but if they rang me, the first question I'd ask is, what did David Van Dyke do that you didn't like? Because I reckon David did a pretty damn fine job with alligator blood. And he probably only had one little blemish, and he was probably unlucky not to have held on and won the Caulfield Guineas. But from where I sit, I reckon he trained it pretty damn good.
What about when trainers offer you horses or owners offer you horses and they're taking a horse away from one of your mates that's a trainer. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, it has happened before.
So what do you do there? Is it just business?
Well, the thing about it is, I mean, you know, trainers always say, other trainers, like, you pinch my horse and things like that. Well, owners only want to be pinched if they want to be pinched, don't they? But the bottom line is, you know, you quite often will say to the person, well, you know, can ask what the reason was with your previous trainer. He's a good trainer. He's done the right thing by the horse. And they might say they had a disagreement for whatever reason. And I suppose the end result is that I remember one day a guy said, well, if you don't want to take it, that's fine. But the horse is leaving Mr. X, so someone has to train it. And I've had on the reverse before too, where people, I won't lie to you, we had a horse called I'm Invincible. Goes okay as a stallion, and things weren't going quite right, and it was nothing against the owner, because we still train for the owner today. But Peter Morgan rang me and said, mate, I don't want to argue, I don't want to blue, and we've been lifelong family friends. I said, mate, it's all good. I'm good, you're good, the owner's good. So Peter took I'm Invincible. So it does happen, and you know what? It is part of the game, and I reckon David Van Dyke, just from reading the media, has handled himself pretty well. As he
unbelievably
said,
well.
Horses come and go, owners will come and go. I'll never forget him. And you know what? I mean, you know, you've trained for good people before. You've trained for some horror people. And let's be honest, that's how it can happen. And we've had some great stories, and we've all had some horror stories. So it's, you know what? As I said, sometimes it's not always just about how good a trainer you are. It's about your rapport with people. And some people get along with some and not with others. And if we all liked the one thing, Gareth, it'd be pretty boring in this life, wouldn't it? So there wouldn't be variety if that was the case. And that's not a throwaway line. It's just a simple fact that, you know, some people get along great with some people and not with others.
And it's a business decision that you would have to make for your stable, I would imagine. You weigh up the positives, you weigh up the negatives. And I guess for a trainer that is a trainer coming through the ranks to get off at a horse like Alligator Blood, it probably would be difficult to knock back.
It would be, but then on the flip side, you've got to look at it the other way and go, well, are you on a hiding nothing?
Yep.
Sometimes when you're getting a tried horse of someone else, gee whiz, you're going to have it. You're going to have everything stacked up against you. So, it's a bit like that $1 million colt that you get from the sales. It's fantastic when they're up and winning, and it turns out to be Ole Kirk or something of that ilk. That's a fantastic story. But I've been there before when the $1 million colt gets beaten in a maiden at Kilmore, and you got nowhere to hide, nowhere to run, and people are asking to please explain it. It's not much fun, let me tell you. It doesn't matter if it's $1 million horse or $100,000 yielding, because it's all in perspective. And when things are going good, everyone's happy, and when you're winning, most people are happy. It's but it's quite an amazing thing. If a horse is no good, we don't seem to have as many arguments. We probably seem to have more arguments when horses go good, because everyone starts to get involved, and then mates get involved, and then away you go. But you know what? Those owners that keep churning out winner after winner, most of those owners pretty much sit back and say nothing. And they just front up on my favourite line is, most people want to be there on Derby Day, and most people do every single thing they can to not make it to Derby Day. Derby Day is where you need to be, and I reckon you need to stack everything in your favour. If you got a horse and you want to give it to your trainer, Let him or her go and do their job, I say. Is that from a trainer's hat on? 100% it is.
I would be happy if Team Hawks train me a winner at Menangatang.
Mate, I'd be, you know, my father's a great line, always has been, it wouldn't win a maiden at Menangatang. I've never taken a horse to Menangatang.
Well, you should, Wayne. You should one day.
I north one day, and I drove through Menangatang, and I went and actually found the race course, and I took a picture under the Menangatang sign and then sent it to my father. Do you think it was that funny? But I thought it was pretty funny myself.
Can you explain? So Alligator Blood has to undergo an operation for kissing spine. Can you explain that injury, and would that hurt his chances of returning back to his best?
Absolutely, have no idea. I actually asked someone a question this morning what that was, and someone said to me, "I don't know." But look, at the end of the day, I'll say this to you. I don't know anything about Alligator Blood than what you or I. You'd know as much about him as what I would. But any horse that's having 6 months off with an injury, it's never easy. No. Is it easy for a footballer to come back from an injury? No, it's not. So it's not going to be any easy road for any athlete, whether it's human or whether it's mammal, to to come back. So, you know what? I want Alligator Blood to come back because I cheer home. All the All Too Hard progeny, because there's nothing better than when you see. It's not like one of your own kids, but you know what? It's probably the next best thing, and I honestly do get a kick. I think I said it the other day with the Too Hard beating the deep field. I don't know which one to cheer home the most, but you do as a trainer with your stock see the progeny come through. It's a good thrill, 100%.
Because this is such a high rating segment these days. Every time you mention All Too Hard, 100 jumps in. Now you do have to say that we don't want you to be getting charged for cash for comment here, Wayne.
Hang on. I do own a breeding right in All Too Hard.
Okay.
Well, I do. I do have a breeding right in All Too Hard. I was given one with my family when he was retired to stud. But I don't care whether it's a stallion that I don't have an interest in. Any horse of yours that you have roll through. I reckon it's a great thing to see their kids. I think it's even better when you go to the yearling sale and you know you start off at the Magic Millions and then you see all the deep fields or all the All Too Hards or all the headwaters or all the star turns, and I'll be the same thing with Ole Kirks and all those sort of stallions when they go to stud with their kids to see whether they look like the old man or not. And it's quite funny. Plenty of people walk up to you and ask you, you know, does he look like his dad? Yes, I guess, and make it all sound good. Why not?
Thankfully for so just on that, so with the so thankfully you've got a free service, is that to All Too Hard each and every year? How do you use that? Do you breed? Do you have a broodmare that you send to him?
Yes, we've got a mare that we're sending this year to All Too Hard. So quite often you might sell it, you might do a foal share. So
unbelievable. The rich get richer. You know,
no, it actually sounds good, but let me tell you, it's the old breeding game was not easy. I spoke to a bloke called Neil Warren on Saturday morning, and the great mare, I don't think she's in foal yet, fully black caviar. So, you know, it's look what happened to Winx's foal. I mean, gee whiz, you talk about a tale of woe for racehorses. I would hate to be a big stud master in the Hunter Valley, having to ring people and tell them the tale of woe that just happens. I mean, my brother had one that he bred. It was a star turn. Hand on my heart, I ran up and said, "This is a belter. What a beautiful colt this is." And Mike said, "Yeah, no worries." I ran up the next day and said, "He just died in the box overnight." So I said, "You want to do an autopsy?" He said, "Well, not really, because unfortunately you have livestock, you have dead stock, and it wasn't insured and he owned it." So he said, "Just move on. Thanks very much anyway." But the breeding side of it, gee whiz, you get excited when you go to the sales and you see these expensive yearlings, these good sorts. But I tell you what, for every one good story, as the breeders listening will be able to be thinking right now, there's a massive, massive tale and a huge tale of woe that comes with breeding them, that's for sure.
With Wayne Hawkes here on Wayne's World, here on RSN Central, it's 9 minutes to 11 o'clock. Ready Available was successful for John Sargent, a colt purchase for around $20,000 at the Tasmanian Magic Million sales, so already a really good investment for John Sargent and his owners there with that two-year-old. But I was thinking about it on Saturday. Do you think there is an opportunity to have more of these races in Victoria and New South Wales where they go the opposite direction?
Not really. I think... No. I know Gawler in Adelaide was set up as a Sydney way of going track, and I think they might have done it, you know, like back in the early days, like the 60s or something like that. But I know Gawler had a massive long straight either way for that reason. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know why we have to. Why does New South and Queensland go the opposite?
Do you like this race then?
Sorry.
Do you like this race on Magic Millions Day there at Ballarat on Saturday?
The race is okay. It's a good gimmick, and it's probably no different to the Grays race on Oaks Day or something like that. It's certainly something a bit different. You're a long way out from a Magic Millions, and you know I'm not for it. I'm not against it, to be totally honest. But the $20,000 horse of John Sargent's, I always like looking at the Magic Millions field, and it's just amazing how most years when it's $40,000 to $80,000 is three quarters of the field. The expensive ones just don't seem to ever get there, and it's always that sort of, you know, $40,000 to $80,000 horse that ends up quite often quite often ends up winning the race. So it's look, it's a good concept, Magic Millions, and they've chucked their hat in the ring for Melbourne. So it gives Melbourne a little, you know, a little something, you know, on you know, at the end of the carnival. So good on Magic Millions for doing it. But if I had a horse in my stable, I wouldn't be worrying about that then. I'd send it to Sydney myself and then trial it and then race it that way. But I can say that because I've got a stable in Sydney and I've got facilities that can do that. So for the Melbourne guys that don't, it's a great thing that they can do. And you know what? It was good John Sargent came down and pinched some of the prize money.
Now, Wayne, how many two-year-olds would you have in work at the moment? And are you able to separate them for the punters out there? Because we've had a few two-year-old races already this year. And the Magic Millions isn't far away. It'll come around pretty quickly after the Christmas New Year period. And then all of a sudden, it's Golden Slipper time and Blue Diamond Stakes time.
Well, you've got to be pretty much in work now if you're heading towards a Blue Diamond, the Golden Slipper, and that little SS words, shin sore. As soon as that happens, you're game over from now on. So you've pretty much got to be back, just going back into work or in work now to be running in those races. Because if you go shin sore from about 3 weeks ago, you're given the mandatory 8 weeks off, 10 weeks to get ready. You've got to be pretty damn good to be to be running in a group race first up and then a race like the Slipper. The Blue Diamond was even 4 or 5 weeks ago. You had to be like that. So we look at all those things. It was a Blue Diamond except we should close. Oh, are they today? Were they last week? I don't know. I can't remember what day it is half the time. I know I did them. And we went through and was either this Tuesday or today or it was last week they went in. So, you've got to be looking at where your horses are at and everything like that. But they've got to be in, they've got to be up, they've got to be going. Can you separate them? Well, you're starting to now because I would be a big fan of not having pre-Christmas two-year-olds. I reckon it would be a New Year thing, would be good. It won't happen because it'll stuff up the Magic Millions, but I would be in big favour of not running a two-year-old before Christmas. It's early enough for when we do it, so we don't have many cracks pre-Christmas, to be totally honest. And we'll err on the side of caution leading up towards Christmas. And the thing about it is, I know Dad did it with forensics. You know, Mossfun did it too. It was just all the way through, bang, bang, bang. Esther Jarb was basically the same deal, that they can have their first, second, third run in one prep now and go on and win a Golden Slipper. We've never really been mad Blue Diamond targets. We've always sort of gone along the lines that if they're good enough, we'd probably run in the Golden Slipper. But, the Blue Diamond's probably a race, but they probably need to chuck another million at it now and make it worth $2.5 million and, probably make it, push it back towards the Slipper, because there's one thing about Sydney racing that they haven't touched. They haven't touched the Golden Rose and they haven't touched the Golden Slipper.
Yeah.
Every other race they've put through the roof in Sydney, but they haven't touched the Slipper, but it's obviously the one. And, the one I want to be successful is Capitalist, to be honest, Gareth, because we actually need another good colt to be a Slipper winner, to be a good stallion. So we've had a fair run with a lot of fillies winning the race, and it'd be good if Capitalist could end up being the next good stallion, just to give that Golden Slipper another kick along.
It was interesting you mentioned about that you would prefer the two-year-old races to start after January. Harness Racing recently pushed their season back to January 1st. So usually they're a month after the gallops. So they were September 1st, the gallops are August 1st. But now they're back to January 1. And you can see their two-year-olds now.
Why is that?
I think it's just because
The field sizes?
No, I just think it gives the two-year-olds and three-year-olds more time to mature. They can run their feature races in the summer as well. So you can have those two- and three-year-olds competing in November. Like they just recently had their Breeders' Crown, and then they can have their age group feature races too in December as well, instead of the middle of winter, which didn't really suit the babies as well. And I think for the horse population, it gives them more time to have more horses racing.
It won't happen though, because the thing about it is, I'm thinking Frosted, what did he win the Maryland? James Cummings won the Maryland on with a Frosted. I'm sure Darley Victoria's phone rang off the hook on the following Monday, of people ringing up trying to get into Frosted. So from a breeding point of view, It's gold to try and get a breeder's, a Jim Crack, a Maribyrnong trial stakes winner, a Maribyrnong winner. So I'm sure some of the breeders wouldn't want that to be a pushback. And as I said, Magic Millions would kick up a hell of a stink because you'd have to have an all first starters running in the Magic Millions. So then your 2 year old race would be extinct. It wouldn't kill a sale by any stretch, but the difference between Magic Millions and Easter generally is Magic Millions has more of the first season stallions and they have a lot more precocious 2 year olds, and Easter have more classic sort of horses and horses that quite often can need a little bit more time. So we're never gonna get around that. There's no doubt about that. But maybe just, I mean, you know, Flemington put on a race on that midweek when they had the Derby trial. And they put on an early 2 year old race that I actually said to them, get rid of it. It's not actually working. It's not working, and you know, all 900 metre 2 year old races should be barred. I reckon if you can't run 1,000, I don't reckon you should be running. But they're only my views, and people will agree, and some will disagree.
All right, then, Wayne, you've got runners at Moonee Valley on Saturday, runners at Rose Hill Gardens on Saturday. I think Outrageous goes around in that Group 3 Festival Stakes. You've been really, superb for us punters. Can you lead us into a winner this weekend? You forgot to mention Arcademus last week, by the way.
Yeah, it was a good result for him to get the cash. He was a tried horse who came from two other trainers. He took an Alligator Blood before. So, Outrageous, yeah, Outrageous would be hard to beat. And there's a two-year-old I like called Hunnam. He's already had the one run, and he ran last the other day in Sydney, albeit it was on a heavy track, which we didn't know whether he'd handle it, but at least we now know that. So he gets his chance to reprieve on Saturday. So Hunnam and Outrageous in Sydney are our best two this weekend.
Always a pleasure, Wayne.
Gareth, the pleasure was all yours.